It's the 12th of the 3rd, 2019. The speakers are Angus and his father, Mick Thompson. We're going to hear the history of the Thompson family and their men's outfitters.
Welcome everyone. Suits. Everyone thought suits were going to go out in the 1960s. They thought they were going to go out in the 80s, but they're still here. And you see endless pictures of men with different philosophies and different politics, but they're all wearing suits. So I was absolutely thrilled to approach the Thompsons, and for Angus, who's on the better side of life as far as the rest of us are here tonight, was very, very keen to come and talk, and I think we should be privileged at that. So Angus, I'm handing over to you. Michael is going to talk as well, but Angus will be our main speaker tonight. Welcome, Angus. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Joyce. What a wonderful introduction that was. And I'd also like to thank you as well for asking us to come along tonight to present to this amazing crowd. It's great to see so many familiar faces as well, including family and friends. So good evening and welcome to the story of Thompson Suits. I'd just like to make a special tribute to everyone that's travelled from far and wide, but also to all of you that have turned out tonight. It certainly means a lot. So the format for the night will be Tomo, Mike Thompson. He will talk about the history of the shop with regards to how it started and grew. Then I'll talk about the later years. We'll also have some photos for your viewing pleasure. And if you do have any questions regarding these, or you'd like us to talk about them at the end, please let us know. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Michael.
Thank you, Angus. That's a wonderful introduction for me. Unbelievable. I got married nearly 50 years ago. I'm more nervous now than I was then. Unfortunately, if I'm reading, that's because my memory's not so good. But history of Thompson Suits. We were born in May 1957. Mick Thompson started work at Blackmore's clothing shop in approximately 1928. But he learned the trade, and in 1941 he was called to fight for our country in World War II. He returned home in 1945, where he continued to work at Blackmore's, and he loved it. It was the only job he ever wanted until Mr. Blackmore Sr. called him aside to tell him his son Colin was going to take over as manager. As you can imagine, Mick wasn't too happy about that. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, a friend, Joe Howard, who was a real estate agent, saw Dad and said to him, "There's a soon-to-be-empty shop in the 300 block of Heratonga Street. It was a ladies' shop and the ladies were retiring. Dad went to have a look, but thought it was too far out of the main shopping area. Then Joe said to him, the old saying, "Mick, if you want to succeed, go west, young man." So the decision was made. Dad didn't have much money, but the word got around the district and country that he was opening on his own, and the manufacturers were fantastic. "Get what you need and pay for it when you can," the majority said. Suppliers such as Lane Walker, Rudkin and Litchfield and Christchurch, Maida Vale, Cambridge and Amblers in Auckland, and James Brown, later to become Rembrandt in Wellington, were all an incredible support. So our home on Avenue Road became the warehouse, while waiting for the shop to become ready. Finally, May 20th, 1957 came and the shop was ready to open. Dad, Mum and a young guy called Barry Bowman were ready. Barry was a real hard case, great ladies' man and loved life. The first day was fantastic. They were flat stick all day. One customer came in and said to Dad, "I need a suit." And Dad said, "No, you don't. I sold you one just 2 weeks ago at Blackmore's." And the guy said, "You need the money more than me." Which was fantastic. Dad and Mum came home with a satchel tucked under their arm and exhausted but very happy. My sister Judy and I were allowed to count the money. Threw the money up in the air and then counted it. They had budgeted to take £300, and at the end of the count, they'd taken £900. It was unbelievable. So Thompson Suits had begun. Not long after they opened, Mum's youngest brother, Dick Preble, joined the firm. And with Jenny Henderson in the office, the shop continued to grow. In 1959, I became the before and after school boy. In the mornings, to sweep the floor inside and out, and then deliveries after school. The alteration ladies lived near Mahura School and in Victoria Street, so to bike there and back. Occasionally I'd call her home to see if Mum would take me in the car. She didn't do it very often. In 1960, the shop next door became vacant, so that was the first of the expansion. It had been the paint warehouse for NC Rakes Paint Shop. At that time, business was still growing and Dad employed Peter Coleman, who used to ride track work at the racecourse in the morning before work. He was a neat guy. In January 1966, I went to Wellington Transferians for work experience. I was there until October when I got the call to say Barry Bowman had tragically been killed in an accident. So in November 1966, I came home and started work at Thompson Soups. I enjoyed the time in Wellington while staying with my auntie and uncle and cousins in Lyle Bay. A young lady came into the shop one day and she wanted a present for a boyfriend. So I just said, well, what about a pair of pyjamas? She said, yeah. And I said, oh, what size? She said, my size. Can I try them on? I said, what about a shirt? She said, no, I want pyjamas. So I took her upstairs into the fitting room and was waiting outside. There was a curtain door on it. And the guys that worked there all of a sudden pushed me into the fitting room. Here's this young lady with a pair of pyjama pants on and a top on but unbuttoned. My bra, not the pair, that was held. So I walked out of there very quickly. When I got home, at the same time, we also took on another salesman by the name of John Darrow. He had previously been the manager of Hugh Wright's. John, JB as we called him, was a brilliant window dresser and a salesman, a very dapper gentleman. He had the ability to make our clients feel that they were the most important people in the world. JB was an integral part of our staff for 40 years. His personality was infectious. He once wore a hat to work, like a Robin Hood hat, you know, the one with the thick front. It came out over his nose, so I told him and I laughed. And he kicked the hat onto the road and left it there and never wore it again. I took him to Ruapehu once because he's a great skier, and we stayed in the Havelock North or Hawke's Bay Ski Lodge, which was great on the first night. In the morning, Davey said, Tom, we haven't got time to get boots for you. Get your shoes on, we're going, and you watch me ski. So up we go to the ski thing. He's on the ski thing. He's up the mountain. And I'm there in my leather-soled shoes, slipping and sliding. Anyway, he waves to me, so he starts skiing down, and the cloud comes over. And the cloud lifted. Where's JB? Nowhere to be seen. He crashed into another guy and smashed his ankle. So the paramedics went up and brought him down, and I took his skis, and still in my leather sole shoes. Went back to the ski lodge, thinking this will be all right. I bought half a dozen beer. There was four or five older gentlemen. They may have been 40, but they're older than me. And they talked all night about the younger generation and drank my beer. So I said to JB, that's either me for skiing. So I had to go to Taumanui and pick him up the next day and brought him home. After Dick Preble had been with us for about 15 years, he decided to open his own business in Taradale. He left us in 1974. Business was still going very well, and in 1973, NC Rate's shop on the other side became vacant as they had moved to the next block. We knocked down the wall and expanded, incorporating a boys' department as well as a Harrowware school uniform and men's shoe department. We included the Lindisfarne uniform a few years later. The 60s and 70s were a great time for Hawke's Bay. Some new clothes for suits were developed for the seasons. Verano and Euroweave created a lightweight and hard-wearing mohair and wool cloth for summer, while Bellcrest and Iris Thornproof produced a warm and very hard-wearing pure wool cloth for winter. Bad for business because they wouldn't wear out. Dad's reputation as a top salesman grew and wives would come to tell Mick, Jack needs a new outfit, you know his size, sort it out. He'd give them the outfits he chose for them on APRO, and 9 times out of 10, they would fit, and they'd buy them. The fashion for the young man about town in those days was tweed jackets, moleskin or cavalry tool trousers, airtech shirts in summer, and Viola shirts in winter. Many of these young men frequented the hugely popular lager bar at the Mayfair Hotel. Oh, they were great days. Then the fashion changed to navy blue reefer jackets, charcoal flannel trousers. To mention just a few of our younger staff members that have worked over the years, Kim Howard, I see you here tonight, John McKee, Graham Taylor, Curls we used to call them, Neville Stewart, John McNaughton, Pete Johnson, Ian Tillyard, Grant Nisbet, Brian Herrick, Paul Roberts and Brian O'Sullivan. We all worked hard but had a lot of fun too. Bruce Georgie joined us after John McNaughton left and worked for us until he retired 5 years ago. Great servant for Thompson Suits. There were 21 men's outlets in Hastings 35 years ago. Now there are 5. Only 2 are owner-operated, and that's us and Alexander's. We used to have menswear Christmas parties where manufacturers, reps and retailers would all mix, tell stories and lies. One of those such events, there was a bit of a fight. John McKee, Rums, as he was known, had hidden an employee from Blackmore. Rums told us that the Blackmore's guy had said something derogatory about Mick, so he whacked him. We still don't know if that is really what happened, but he was whacked. Dad loved the farming sector. He was very keen on dog trials. He was a timekeeper for the Hunterway classes at several different trials, and one of the instigators in retaining the dog trials at the AMP show. Also a sponsor for Polo, Hawke's Bay Racing, Hastings Golf Club and Kiatai Bowling Club, and others. Angus is going to say a few more things about that. When I first began working at Thompson Suits, Dad and I had a talk, as you would. He suggested I should play rugby for Hastings Old Boys and I should join the golf club and the county club. I thought that was a great idea. After Pam and I were married in 1969, I told her that I'd join these clubs because, as Mick explained, it was great for business. And it was. In those early days of my working life, there was no Saturday shopping. We stayed open until 9 o'clock on Friday. I'd leave the shop at 9 and go to the club and play snooker, sometimes until 1 or 2 in the morning. By that time, the bar had closed, so we were pretty sober by the time we drove home. So, in 1975, Mum and Dad were in a very bad car accident, and as a result, Dad was hospitalised for months with a badly broken pelvis and various other injuries. Dad was not able to work full time again and could only come in for short periods of time. So I became the boss at 28 years of age, with great support from JB and Bruce. Dad had always wanted Thompson Suits to be on the corner. So in 1993, I asked the Lambertons, who owned Kiwi Cycles, how would you feel about moving over the road to your empty shop? Great idea, they said. So we moved out for a couple of months and rented two small shops down the road while the rebuild was done. Mrs. Redstone, our landlady, passed away in 2000, so I purchased the building from her estate. I only had one real argument with Dad. It was a bit stupid, but it was the only real argument I had. He went out to the loo, and someone had taken the wooden part of the toilet roller for him. And he said, "Michael, what are you going to do about it?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "What are you going to do? Someone's nicked the wooden part of the toilet roll holder." I said, "Who cares?" I went home that night to their place and I had a talk with Mick. We had a drink and I said, "Hey, Dad, if you're going to carry on like this, I'll bugger off. You be boss for 6 months and I'll come back." So I said, "I can't put up with that sort of nonsense." He said, "Don't be like that. Don't be stupid." So we left it at that, and that was the only time I had a real I'm extremely proud of what we've done at Thompson Suits over the 60 years, and would like to thank my wife, Pam, for nearly 50 years, our children, Mark, Liz and Angus, and their partners, who didn't see much of me in those early years, my staff, especially, and our loyal clients. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be standing here today. I'd now like to hand over to son Angus, because we were working on an orchard when one day he came to me and said, "Tommy, how would you feel if I came and worked in the shop?" My eyes lit up and said, "Fantastic." That was 20 years ago. So now he's the boss and doing a wonderful job, and I'm just a boy.
Thank you for that, Dad. That was an amazing presentation, and I'm sure everyone got quite a good knowledge out of that. When I was growing up, I guess I didn't know how lucky I was to have such an amazing legacy that I was a part of. When I was at intermediate school, I would sometimes pop around to Nan and Pop for a visit, and Pop would tell me stories of the shop and what he did. He was retired at this stage, but would still call in with his walking stick and make sure everyone was on their toes. Pop would always say that the shop was a bloody big business, and Michael seemed to be doing it well. I now understand what he was saying, but at the time, it took me a while as I generally took it for granted. When I left school, I went to work at the Red Apple, an orchard owned by Van Howard, who was Kim's brother, who, as it also happened, is the son of Joe Howard, the real estate man who found the original first shop for Nick. I had the intention of working for a year and then heading to uni, but after a year I enjoyed earning money rather than spending it. But with that, I became a full-time worker for Van. After 4 years there, I moved to another orchard which was owned by Mo Pierce. I also had a job at a very popular bar and cafe called Diva, and this was owned by Kim Howard. I don't know whether this is a coincidence or not, but I'm not sure. This kept me busy to the end of 98 when Mo Pierce decided to sell his orchard, and it was then that I wanted to join the family firm. I had a bit of experience in the shop over the previous years as an after-school boy, but once I started full-time, I thoroughly enjoyed it. The staff, the customers, being nice and warm inside when it was cold and wet outside, and no more early morning starts at 4 a.m. to go spraying. Not only that, but the great people we met every day, and also how varied the role was. Each day was different, from selecting what to buy for stock to helping clients to choose a great outfit. My early years at the store were certainly an eye-opener, learning the trade, so to speak. this included, but not limited to, dealing with customers, tidying stock, keeping the shop looking great, and as a new kid on the staff, sweeping the front every morning. The stories that were told by the staff always had us laughing for a few times anyway, but they started getting a bit old after the joke was told for the 500th time. John Narrow had a great repertoire of jokes. One of them was, a lady walked into the shop one day and she was blind, she had a dog with her, seeing eye dog. The dog ran off the leash, ran around the shop and jumped into the window. While it was in the window, it did its business on one of the sports coats in there. We thought, oh no, what are we going to do? So we had to sell that sports coat at a two at the price. He had 100 more like that, but we don't have the time to go through them. As Michael had already mentioned, we were very lucky to have John, or JB as we called him. He thought of us as family and would do anything for us. He was always immaculate in whatever he did or dressed. We had the best window displays in the whole town, and his connection with his customers was second to none. He had customers that would drive past the shop and call out, John, I need a new suit. Actually, make that two. And he'd go into the suit lounge, pick out two suits, three shirts and four ties, wrap them up, send them off, and back came a check. That's how good he was. But there was one thing to be said, and that he didn't like anyone touching his windows. There was one time when he left early and some Christmas lights fell down in the window. Since JB wasn't there, I took it upon myself to put them back up and in a slightly different place. Thinking I'd done a brilliant job, I left it at that. Well, the next day when JB turned up, he knew immediately his window had been changed and he wanted to know who did it and why. Took him about 3 days to start talking to me after that. When I'd successfully passed the apprentice stage, I also started doing a few more things in the business. This included the accounts, the financial side of the business, and also the advertising. This certainly gave me a varied role at work, which I loved. With technology always improving and changing, we had to change with the time. From cash and cheques being the normal form of payment, to FPOS. I do recall Tomo saying, this FPOS thing, that's not gonna last. People just like to have cash or cheques in their wallets. So now people can pay with their phones and their watches, let alone with cards. There was also a massive alert for everyone, but especially businesses, when Y2K was approaching. Y2K, for those that didn't know, was the year 2000, and nobody could guarantee that the computers would roll over to the new year. People were told to update their computers and back up all their information 3 times just to be safe. Thankfully, when January 1st, 2000 rolled around, everything carried on like clockwork. As an older business, Thompson's has a lot of business history that is written down manually in a folder, and this included what stock was bought, how many we had left, and how many had sold. This is how we forecast our buying for the new season. We generally have to order our stock approximately 6 to 8 months in advance, so we have to know how many we need to buy a long way up. This system had served Thompson's well, up until 2015 to be fair. We're still using that system now, but we have also introduced a POS system or point of sale system. On the slides you'll see a few pieces of paper exactly like that, and that's how it was done from 1964 or even prior to 2015. So the point of sale system, it's a computer system that allows us to record all stock movements, when we purchased it, what size, what colour and what date. Whereas the abacus, which is what I call the old system, could only tell us once or twice a year, depending on the product, how many in a particular size we'd sold. For example, AirTech shirts in 1975, the year I was born, we sold a whopping 780 shirts for that year. And then in 2019, I can tell you on each individual day how many we sold. For example, 18th of January, we sold 15. And then in 2018, we'd actually sold 1,700. So AirTech's a very big part of our business. This new technology gives us so many more reports to base our future buying from, but unfortunately it can't tell us where the fashion is going, only where it has been. An example of this, we purchased a black quarter zip merino pullover, and that sold super well. In 4 weeks we'd sold the lot, and we thought, right, we'll get onto the supply, find out how many they've got left. So they had 20 left, and we thought, right, we'll take the lot, we'll sell those in no time. So in the next 10 months we'd only sold 3, but these are the things that we learn from. Obviously, Thompson's wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all our wonderful customers that we have returning to the store and coming through the doors. It is what makes the job so enjoyable when you see people you've helped out and about looking sharp. A couple of years ago, we were celebrating our 60th birthday when we had the photographer from the Hawke's Bay today and taking photos. In through the doors walked a very loyal customer called David Hildreth. And it just so happened that he came in on the first day that Pop opened up the doors. So the photographer suggested that David try on a jacket with me helping. We proceeded to do that with a photographer taking shots when David turned around and said, "I like that jacket. It looks good and it fits me well. Wrap it up for me." So that was very worthwhile. We also try to give back to the local community in many ways. We have sponsored, as Michael said, the local dog trials. That's at the AMP show, the Te Aori trials, Okawa and Taradale, to name a few. We also do a month where we take a percentage of what we sell and donate that to the local charity that we choose for that month. So in the last couple of years, we've donated approximately $1,400 to the Hawke's Bay Helicopter Trust and approximately $1,300 to the Wildflowers exhibition that raises money for the Cranford Hospice. Local schools, rugby clubs, bowling clubs, Alsop Sports Day, Railcover Sports Day, and major functions all benefit from not just Thompson Suits, but from so many other local businesses that all help in their small way.
Well, you didn't donate it to me.
We've donated lots to you, Michael. You've just got a very short memory. Another reason why Thompson's has stood the test of time is the suppliers that we've been dealing with. They have helped us when needed and have been a great support. The slogan or motto that we've stuck to throughout the years has been pretty simple: quality product with exceptional service at an affordable price. We stick with the suppliers that stand behind their product as we do with what we sell. We expect our products to last as long as what would be considered a fair amount of time, and we'll do our very best to remedy any situation that our customers may come across. Pop also had an old saying which most people would have heard before, which is the customer's always right. Well, that's most of the time. As Tom has mentioned previously, staff are very important. We need to have staff that relate well to the customer. We've never been a store to sit behind the counter and wait for the customer to come to us for help. We'd rather be in amongst it to give our advice on certain fits or fabrics to the benefit of the customer. Michael's mentioned some of the staff that have worked on the floor or salesmen, but we've also had some lovely office staff as well. These include, to name just a few, Marilyn Sinclair, Denise Streeter, Heather Bark, Judy Birch, Denise Watkins, Roz Getty, Juliet Ebert, Debbie McAllister, Jackie Irving, Liz Dark, Nyla Daly, Pam Thompson, and currently Rebecca Wilson. When Michael retired at the end of 2016, that was when I took over the reins, so to speak. It turned out to be quite an interesting time, work-wise. At the time, we had Ben Graham, Hamish Grant, myself, and Murray Price working. Ben came to me and said that he was leaving to pursue a job in the mortgage broking industry, but realised the timing and gave me 3 months to find someone. Prior to this, I also was doing the finances as we had just updated the Xero, which was a new accounting system, and needed to understand the system. I've been doing this for approximately 3 months since our last office lady left. At the start of February, I also found out Hamish was leaving in the next 2-3 weeks. So in less than 3 months, I had 3 staff leaving out of 5. Thankfully, I'd employed the talents of a local HR company who handled finding the potential candidates and whittling them down to approximately 8 for the 3 roles we needed filling: office, sales and marketing, and sales and merchandising. From the 8, we narrowed it down to 3, and these turned out to be Steve McCarty, who has had a lot of experience with sales and marketing. He got this at Farmlands for a number of years, Forenzo, and later Central Districts Cricket. Leighton Mackay, who knows just about anything you need to know about wine, who's had 10 years experience at AdVintage. And Rebecca Wilson, who is very fluent at Xero and learnt pretty quickly the ins and outs of our POS system. These guys turned out to be lifesavers as they picked up the ethos of Thompson Suits and also brought other aspects to the place as well. The competition surrounding clothing has changed immensely over the years. There was 21 menswear stores serving the Hastings locals to just 2 independent retailers today. I believe this has changed for a number of reasons. The expansion of the rural stores serving the farmers in the rural sector, Farmlands, I see John Newlands here, welcome. So Farmlands, Wrightson's, Fruitfed Supplies, they expanded to incorporate menswear, dishwashing liquid, pretty much anything you need for the farm, where we used to have a lot of farmware in the store. So that side of the business certainly dropped away, but we certainly increased it with, for example, the AirTech shirts, suits, and more of the fashion clothing. And a lot of the corporate businesses now source the uniform from large distributors, cutting out the retailer. So now big corporates will go online or go to big firms up in Auckland or even overseas and order 100 suits or 100 shirts rather than everyone getting their individual outfit for work. The chain stores have also rapidly grown over the years, and they have certainly encroached on the independent stores over the time. One story that Michael told me was when Postie Plus hit the market and people could shop from a catalogue from the comfort of their home, retailers throughout the country were up in arms and saying, "This will kill my business and that will be the end of bricks and mortar stores." It was either Pop or Dad that said, "Don't worry, there will always be the people that like to feel what they buy and also enjoy the experience of face-to-face retail." It's So with the advancement of technology, it wasn't long before online shopping came about. And again, people were up in arms around the country saying, it's going to kill my business. But this is certainly growing at a steady rate. And Kiwis are already spending $4.2 billion annually online. These are certainly changing times at the moment. We just have to keep trying to create different strategies to encourage people into town. So these and so many more are all the challenges that we face at the day-to-day life of Thompson Suits, but that is what keeps us on our toes. Last but definitely not least, I'd just like to acknowledge the hard work that Michael has put into the business. He still has a knack to sell ice to Eskimos, but he can't use a computer still. He thinks it hates him. 50 years in one job is a hell of a long time, and also to have it flourish under his leadership is brilliant to see. I remember in 1999 when Main Streets was around, now called the Hastings City Business Association, they were having their business awards and we were entered. I'd only been in the shop for a year and a half, and on the night of the awards I was hopeful, but with so many other wonderful businesses around, I didn't think we could get there. When Thompson Suits was called up for the best independent retail business, I was ecstatic. And then Thompson's name was called up for the overall business award, and I was gobsmacked. Such an awesome feeling to have your dad's business win such an award, and I was a part of it. But I would also like to point out that while I was away on holiday last year with Dad, my brother, and a friend of ours, seeing the All Blacks play Australia in Sydney, we actually repeated the performance with the staff going along to the Best Business Awards and winning not just the Best Retail Award, but also the overall award. You betcha we celebrated that night. So I'd just like to thank you, Dad, for carrying on a great tradition that your father started. I just hope that I can do it justice and see it through for another generation. So there is a chance for that to happen with Richie, but we're not going to push him. So I'd just like to thank you all again for being here tonight. I hope we haven't bored you too much, and we'd love to answer any questions that you have. It certainly does play a huge part. Certainly have the two seasons, summer and winter, obviously. But we find that in Hawke's Bay, Hastings especially, people sort of go into hibernation over the winter time. So it's sort of the people that need garments. It's, you know, pretty cold outside, so they need a jersey to wear or warmer trousers. In the summer, with so many more events happening, yeah, people certainly come in. They get a little bit more bold with their shirts that they buy, brighter shirts and trousers in the summertime. But in the winter, it's certainly very conservative.
Michael. My father used to tell me the story that prior to taking the shop on, Mick was terrified that Colin Blackwood or the Blackwoods would find out that he was looking around. So Dad tells the story that he went in at 1:30 in the morning with a searchlight through the back door. Have you ever heard anything about that?
That sounds a wee bit like you. Telling tall stories. I've never heard that one.
That still looks brand new.
That's fantastic. In fact, the late Bruce Morrison and I went on a road trip in my mother's Hillman, and we had the same tap up the coast and called into the Ruatoria pub and said we were from Australia, we were cattle ranchers. I didn't believe this, but exactly that hack. Brilliant.
Looking at the building, how old is that? So it looks like it, or Spanish Mission.
So the building that we're in was built in 1935. The earthquake actually damaged the existing building, so that got replaced and rebuilt. So that was built in the sort of Art Deco Spanish Mission.
I think we agree it's been a wonderful night. Talking about clothes. I'd just like to pick up on the theme that came through when Angus talked, just how technology is now impinging on businesses, the fact that he just lets it roll off his tongue about Xero and POS and all those methods that we didn't even dream about. How lucky you are, Michael, to have a son who's prepared to pick up the technology. Driving north of Sydney with my son-in-law, we were 4 miles out of Sydney, up the coast, and he said to his watch, Alexa, would you vacuum the house? And Alexa does vacuum the penthouse back in Sydney just on talking to his watch. I think it's been a wonderful night. Thank you. It's a very modest thank you to the Thompson family from Landmarks.